is the Lifted Life Podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life.
Today is episode 65, Delusional Optimism.
Or slightly delusional optimism, if I may.
If you may. So what do you mean by delusional optimism?
Okay, so what, like this is my show idea?
No.
It is.
What is your idea? But I think obviously we have different meanings to it. Like everyone has their own meaning, I suppose. But
real quick too, this show, this whole ding dang podcast is your idea.
Yeah.
You're like, babe, I really think I need to get better communicating my message. Will you come up with a show topic every week?
Will you hold my hand and help me do this?
Yes, I will, babe. So episode 65, we're talking about what I prefer to call slightly delusional optimism, which means a healthy amount of delusion towards your optimism is good.
So what it means to me when I hear that is oftentimes what we talk about may or may not be real. So when you think about the feeling you want to have and you think about the things you want and the feeling that brings, a person could argue that's not real. You don't have that thing yet. I want the new home. And you sit and you think about the home and the feeling that home's going to give you. A person could argue, but you don't have it yet. We're kind of arguing, but what you really want is the feeling. And when you have the feeling, then the home, you attract the home and you attract a way to get the home. So when you say that, that's what I think of is like, I kind of live in delusion. Like a lot of the things I want, I don't have yet physically, but I have the feeling of them and I know they're coming to me.
Mm-hmm, that you're creating them.
So to me, that's what that word means is I kind of live in this delusion to a person that from the outside looking in, like that's not, you don't live in reality. And I would say, well, what is reality? It's what you make it.
And I think that's what we're trying to say is that in order to create more of what you want, it requires a slightly delusional optimism. You have to believe in something that you can't quite see yet. You have to lean into that feeling before you have a reason to feel that way. And on that note, a note I made for the show today was just in thinking about this optimism and how I felt so optimistic this winter and this January. It's kind of a cold, dreary kind of vibe in Kansas City during January. And yet I don't feel that way this year. I feel like I have so many ideas, so much excitement, so much energy that I'm not wishing it were spring. I'm happy it's January. And the one thing that I've realized is that I can feel any way I want to feel and I don't have to wait for something to come my way to feel it. So on that note, which is a bit of a tangent, I basically said that if I could go back to my 10-year-old self and tell her anything, one of the main things I would say is you can feel any way you want to feel at any point you want to feel it. Simply because you want to, not because something's happened to you or for you. So all that to say, to me, that's a delusional optimism that I can create feelings simply because I want to, not because something's happening to me, for me, in my favor. It's more about understanding how our minds work and how our feelings work. So,
so I have a question about that. Yeah. Or were you going somewhere?
No, help me here.
I, as a kid, I think I could tell myself the same thing. At some point, someone somewhere told me, get in the real world. That's not realistic. Do it this way. Or maybe I just saw it modeled. I don't think anyone had negative intent towards me, but I could see them saying, someone obviously did. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. It works like this. Do you recall a time like that or...
No, I think it was also just kind of modeled, or I started to realize, oh, I need something to look forward to. Yeah. Oh, there's this vacation, or this friend's going to come over, or this present I'm going to get. It was always like, if this happens, then I can feel this.
Because I personally believe children don't think that way, naturally. Like, from the time they're born until a certain age, they don't think like, they actually think the way we're saying. They think, I feel this way, then I get it. I think they think the correct way, but at some point in their life, there's a transition that's like, no, you feel that way when you receive it. And it's actually the opposite, at least for me.
And I think the whole reason we're talking about this is because once you understand how this works, that it's a feeling universe and you create more of what you want by feeling the feeling ahead of time, that is in fact, the delusional optimism that we're talking about.
For sure, for sure.
That you can get excited now about what you want to create, trusting that you will create it, believing it before you see it. And I think that is the true essence of the word faith. And it is something to get excited about. And it is the whole idea behind a healthy dose of delusional optimism.
I heard faith described as equal parts desire and expectation.
50-50, huh?
Yep.
I like it. So yeah, kind of going back to this idea of bringing more optimism. And like you said, some people will just say, well, I'm not negative or pessimistic. I'm just realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people would say that? Most people.
I've said it.
You used to say it.
You say it a lot, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a skeptic. I'm just a realist. And most of those people are so rooted in reality that they will remain in their same reality and not expand beyond it. I think that growing or manifesting or creating what you want requires an ability to look beyond your current situation and dream a little bigger, think a little wilder or wider. And that to me is yet again, more of this delusional optimism, being able to imagine something before you've actually created it.
But wouldn't you say that person that says I live in reality, I'm a realist, it's not incorrect. They do live in their reality.
And we're just saying you will stay in that reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not willing to think a little bit differently.
But it doesn't mean that I don't live in reality. I live in my own reality, which...
And we're all creating our own reality. Yeah. And I think by understanding that I'm creating my reality, that means I can change it.
Exactly.
It's not happening to me. It's somewhat happening for me, but mostly I'm happening to it.
It's happening by me.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah. And so rather than just kind of continue with these kind of airy-fairy concepts that maybe people understand or not, let's make it more solid and talk about some things that we've created. So okay. For one, the house we live in now, we've been here about 7 years. Mm-hmm. And when we first came to visit this house, when we were standing under the little awning, is that what you call it? Yep. It was kind of raining and our realtor was letting us in. We looked up and we were like, like breathless. Like this house was just bigger, cooler.
More character.
In the location we wanted. And it felt so out of reach. But we thought, let's just go look at it. Because that's what the books say. You know, drive the car, test drive it. Go look inside the homes you want. Drive in those neighborhoods.
In full disclosure, you were already practicing this kind of thought of let's go experience it, find a way. And I was... the complete opposite. I lived in reality at the time and said, there's no way we can afford this, especially the neighborhood. I don't know why we're wasting our time going to this house, but you convinced me to go.
Right. And the whole reason I started was that I somehow found a life coach that I had hired for myself. This was before I went through my own life coach training program. This was me. I actually just Googled one term, the lifestylist, and her name popped up and I thought, I don't really know what it means to be a lifestylist, but I feel like I could really use a lifestylist. And it ends up she was mostly just a coach, a life coach. And one of the things she told me was, well, have you read The Secret? I mean, of course you've read The Secret. I'm like, the what? I hadn't even heard of it.
Yeah.
We hadn't even heard of it. And so I read that book and began to get more acquainted with these ideas. And so because of that book, because of that coach, we did come and just expose ourselves to this. And then the more we looked into it, the more we realized this was within reach. And if we did this, move that around and whatever, it was something we could do. But we weren't even willing to entertain it at first. And it required a delusional optimism that we could at least peek at it to feel the experience of what it would be like.
Well, so sitting here, looking back at that moment, we came to a house that felt like it was a stretch to purchase. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of resistance pushing back on us from inspectors and other people saying, do you know how much work? This is a 100-year-old home. It's going to need tons of more money and all this stuff. All this work. Who's going to do the work? Luckily, I'd have some background in this
work. All of a sudden, this guy starts plumbing. I knew you could do electrical, mm-hmm. but when you started like, here, yeah, I'm just going to get this tube and tunnel and do this with this pipe and PEX. And all of a sudden, I'm like, hey.
If you talk to a plumber, electrician, water, electricity does the same. They flow the same way.
Seems really different to me. Seems like a dangerous combination.
It is.
But I remember saying to you, looking at you and saying, how did you learn to plumb? What But anyway, so yeah, we did know that when we purchased it, we looked like a bunch of kiddie chumps, and the inspector was like, sit down, please. This is, you know, going to be a lot of work.
But looking back, though, we would go home to our old house, and we'd sit and talk about it and say, what about this house? But what we talked about was what we could make it, what it would feel like to live there. I mean, I didn't know at the time that's what we were doing, but that's what we were doing. I'm talking about, wouldn't it be cool if? Wouldn't it be nice? What if? What if? What if? And we started building that feeling of what it would look like. Mm-hmm. And then somehow it happened. Somehow we had two mortgage payments because we couldn't sell the home. We ended up buying it.
It wasn't super pretty. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we did it and we lived happily ever after.
Yeah, but I wouldn't change it.
No.
Like, I would do it over again.
Right. Yeah. But it's the same thing with the lifted business. When I came to you and said, hey, I've got this idea. Mm-hmm. I always have ideas, people.
Yeah.
So it wasn't anything new, but I was like, this one's a bigger idea. So it's going to take a little more risk, a little more investment, a little more of you, I think. Mm-hmm. It was the same thing. In fact, just the other night, our daughter, who's 8, said, wait, wait, wait. Because that's what she always says when she's trying to wrap her mind around something. Wait. You're telling me that lifted is, she couldn't even figure it out. She said, it was nothing before you created it. It was just an idea.
Yeah.
It was just an idea in my mind. And now it's a brand. It's a movement. It's an umbrella for people to gather. And it's a source of inspiration and income and change. And it was all just an idea.
The thing you said, the movement, that's the thing that hooked me in. Like, I agreed way early to go ahead and manufacture the product, to get that going.
To be okay with a potential loss of around $10,000.
Yeah, we both agreed. That investment I was cool with, because I thought, I knew that you could make the $10,000 back. Like, I knew at worst case we'd break even.
I think what we really decide when you're taking a risk like that is, can I be okay with losing this potentially?
Even? Yeah.
I think when you make an investment, you have to, it needs to be calculated, but to some extent, you don't make a risk you can't live with losing. So
right,
we kind of
right.
came
so
to that.
I knew in some way that we wouldn't lose 10,000. We might lose two, but I knew there was a way that it would turn out okay.
We kept saying we'd always just sell the probiotics from our trunk if we had to.
That was
hawking them. Hey, I got a probiotic. You need some probiotics?
But specifically, you and I were on a walk talking about it. And when you broke down the movement, that's when it clicked for me. Like, no, this is something real. This is something big. Way bigger than just selling bottles out of our trunk. Like, this is going to change people's lives. It's going to be a movement.
Mm-hmm. I think we had already been selling the product for a little bit before you were like, I think it was customers writing really amazing emails saying, thank you.
Yeah.
And me reading them to you and talking about, hey, like, we can really impact some lives and create change.
Well, what we talked about was more than just selling our product. It's like, how do you teach people, explain to people that their feelings really do matter and their life really does matter and you are good as you already are. And it's like that idea of like,
right. I feel like the product itself is just an introduction to this lifted life.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure we're using the momentum that we can create from the probiotic and other areas, or we create momentum with the other things. And then we add in the probiotic and we continue to make these healthy changes that impact our life in a really positive way. Mm-hmm. Both of those instances, the home that we now live in, which, by the way, we're kind of tired of. That's the funny thing too. Our brain has normalized this home, the one that it took our breath away at first. And I still love it in so many ways, but there's a few things we'd like to change as the children get bigger and there's only mm-hmm. one full bathroom. That's problematic. Mm-hmm. And our kitchen, we'd love it to be a little bigger where it maybe had an island and we can do some group cooking. Instead, right now, two cooks in the kitchen feels like one too many. Yeah. So there are a few things that we've outgrown or that we've normalized and now we've wanted to grow beyond. And I don't think that's bad. There's times where we kind of discuss this idea of, is that wrong? That like something that we wanted so bad and now we don't even appreciate it, but that's not true. You can appreciate something and still aspire for more of what you want. So anyway, the home.
What you appreciate appreciates.
Yeah. The home that we wanted that wasn't ours and then became ours. The business that was just a thought, just an idea is now a movement impacting change and helping people and all of that. It required a healthy dose of delusional optimism. And so we thought, what better way to share that is than to have this show and kind of talk about how we've gone through this path. Do you think it comes more naturally to some people than others as far as an inclination towards optimism? Or what do you think about that?
Yeah, I feel like it is easier for others. Even with our kids, I feel like they're both pretty good at that. I feel like it's easier for you. I think it's been harder for me to kind of buy into that kind of philosophy.
Do you think that's nature or nurture, though? Like something you were born with or just something that was modeled more and more?
I'm the opposite. I think we're all born that way, and we naturally forget how good of a creator.
But just say you have very skeptical people in your life that are raising you, and watch out for that. Don't do that. Be careful of that.
So that would be nurture, right?
Right. Nature is how we're born. Mm-hmm. Nurture is what's modeled for us and how we're raised in our environment. So I think it can be a little bit of both. There's some kids that are born in the same house and one's more cautious and one's generally more optimistic. Yeah. So I just think that if per se someone's excuse or reasoning is, well, that's just how I was born. No. You can still practice your way to being a more optimistic person. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so for sure. Because what we practice is what we get good at. And practice does not make perfect. Practice makes the master. Don't quote me on that. I don't know who said it, but it wasn't me, but it's good. Perfect is so cringy. Masters are amazing. So practice makes the master. You can practice becoming more optimistic.
I think perfection is a aiming point, but it's never a destination, right? Because you can't hit it anyway.
Well, I don't think it's an aiming point then. Like, it's just constant disappointment. If you're continually aspiring for something but never reaching it, I wouldn't do that. I aspire for good enough. You know, just good enough. Yeah, that's good enough. Good job. That's good enough. Great job.
I'm so hung up on when I was saying that you become a better creator. I don't think anyone becomes a better creator. I think we're equal creators. I think people become better at understanding how they're creating and get better at that.
Or intentionally creating.
Right. But I don't think there's a better creator.
Ding. Oh, ding. So last night, our son was struggling a little bit. I said, you have to remember you are the driver of your bus. I don't feel that way, he said, because you're my mom and you tell me I can't watch any more shows and I'd like to drive my bus by watching the shows. And I said, well, let's think about this. There's things like right now I would like to leave the home away from you guys for a bit. Just take a little break, refresh. It's not that I can't, it's that I won't, because I know that we're all here together. It's getting ready to snow. I'm still driving the bus. I know that if I choose this, it's my choice and this is how I show up. And so I said, I just think it's good to continually remind yourself you are the driver of your own bus. You have passengers on your bus. At this point, it's your family members who all live in this house. So we want to be considerate to the other people on the bus. We don't want to blare our music. We don't want to just continually wrap them up in complaints or negativity. So for instance, he was struggling so much that he was talking to me at night. He said something about his dog and he's like, well, this was an imaginary dog. He said, you know, I'll probably have a dog when I get older. What if something bad happens and I can't take care of my dog? And I said, you are now upset about your imaginary dog. Like, he was tired. This happens. So we're tired.
For the other side of the story, so you were helping Elias get to bed. I was helping Olive get to bed. So we could hear this conversation, and she and I were just laughing because we know how this goes. Like, we've had these conversations in our home enough that we've had outsiders in our home, and they come in complaining, and you start on them. Well, how did you show up? And they're like, what do you mean, how did I show up? This happened to me. And you're like, no, but what were you doing? Like, it doesn't matter what I was doing. This happened to me. And they're like, no, you created it. And then they don't want to hear that, and they shut down. Well, Olive and I could hear him. We knew he was tired. We knew he knew he created it. But he was given all these examples of all these things that wasn't his fault. Like, someone else did it to him. And we were both kind of giggling, like, it's kind of funny being the outsider listening to the conversation.
Right. But the whole thing that came from that is that you are the driver of your own bus. And there might be some passengers that you're considerate of. Mm-hmm. But it's important to remember you are driving the bus. And to me, that's really exciting because that means at any point I can get as excited. I can take a detour. I can change what I do because I am the driver of the bus, of my bus.
Sorry, that was if you're Kansas City, and that's something Rex Hudler used to say. Oh. Who's driving the bus? So
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor. This week, we are highlighting Mood Boosting Blend. It is our one product in the Mood Boosting line that is not a probiotic. We call it the yellow one. And you may or may not know this, but we discontinued it for a bit because I decided it really needed to have vitamin K2 in it because it has vitamin D3. And when I was first coming up with this formula, I had considered putting K2 in it. I didn't follow my gut and didn't put it in, and then later realized this product really needs to have K2 if it's going to have the D3. So we pulled it from the shelves and remade the formula and then relaunched it. And it's been a little bit slow to relaunch it. We lost a lot of the following of it, and I wouldn't have had it any other way because I knew what was the right thing to do, which was to make the best possible product. And I often call this one our SAD formula, or seasonal affective disorder, because it is a really great vitamin mineral combo for those winter months. So this review says, I really love this product. I was disappointed at first when they discontinued the earlier version, but this updated version with K2 added is truly awesome. I take it at night with my mood boosting probiotics, and it relaxes me and gives me peaceful sleep throughout the night. Not to mention the added benefits that the vitamins provide. Like I said, I love it. So the really cool thing about that is she says she's taking it at night and prefers it. We've got other people telling us it gives them energy and they take it during the day. It's the exact same thing with the probiotics. People will say, when should I take them? Morning, midday, night? And honestly, there are some people who say they give them energy. They take them in the morning. And some people say they make them tired and relaxed and they take them at night. So it does require a little trial and error. I personally take mine earlier in the day. They help me feel more balanced all throughout the day. You take yours earlier too, right? Yeah,
morning with breakfast normally.
Right. Cool. So thank you for listening to that. That was...
Yeah, I usually find I need something in my stomach when I take them. Like, I like to take them with food.
Oh, that's a good point. The blend I do highly recommend. It says on the bottle, with a large meal. And the reason is zinc can sometimes make you feel queasy if you don't have enough food in your stomach. Now with the probiotics, it says take it with food. And that is because, as our lab team said, it helps with the acidity of your stomach. By eating more food, you're making your stomach less acidic, which helps that good bacteria get where it needs to go. I've taken it without food. Mm. Not gonna lie. And it still seems to have the positive effects that I want. It won't make you queasy. It's not something that, or typically will not make you queasy. Quite like the blend. The blend has that zinc in it, a little bit of zinc, just enough that if you don't have food, it can make you a little bit nauseous. So please do take that blend with food. Plenty of our customers love to pair the blend with one of their favorite probiotics. So that's a good combo. Or the Redoxy with one of their probiotics is another powerful combo. So back to the show. We're talking about delusional optimism. We think that you can practice optimism and get better at it. We also think that it requires a slight bit of delusion. And that is to say, you might not be able to see exactly what you want prior to creating it, and that's okay.
So I feel like you need a delusion to grow. Without the delusion, you stay where you are. Maybe even
what's a better word than delusion, do you think?
Skeptic seems...
No. Like what about like... imaginative, like something beyond the current reality. If you're thinking right now, I know the word.
Please leave a comment below.
Then share the word on our stories, Instagram stories, put it over on our Facebook page. What is a better word? It's not that it's a terrible word. It's just sometimes can have a little bit of a heavy connotation. And we're not saying to be delusional in all areas of your life. We're just saying that oftentimes optimism will require that you go beyond what the seeing eye can see. Mm-hmm. What the eye can see. That was a little redundant. The
seeing eye, yeah.
Right. So what else? Do you feel like there's any other like wrap it up or anything else important that you want to talk about before we wrap this bad boy up?
I personally like the word delusional optimism. I like to play on the words, but I'm trying to think if there is a better way to say that, but.
I think by now, though, through this show, people know what we're trying to say.
I hope so. If they don't, please let us know.
Yeah. In the comments below. Is there a place to comment wherever they're listening?
I don't know where they're listening.
There's a place to write a review.
Yes.
If you haven't done that yet, take a little screenshot and let us know. Maybe we'll send you a Prezi.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. We can do an email Prezi. I know exactly what to do. Just a small little thank you. Mm-hmm. So I know you can do it on iTunes. We just had a listener say they listen on Spotify. So I don't know if there's a place to leave reviews there. Anyway, we appreciate you tuning in. We hope you found some value. We hope you'll find an area of your life that you'd like to create or manifest something bigger than your current reality, not because it'll complete you, but simply because it'll allow you to evolve and grow. And then from that place, allow a bit of delusional optimism to feel the feeling now and begin to create your way to that outcome. That's delusional outcome. Dang it. That's delusional optimism. That's so close. I was going to wrap it.
You had it.
I had it, but I didn't. All right. Thanks everyone for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you next time on the Literally Life Podcast.
Bye.